You're listening to Speaking Of from WFSU Public Media. Hey, did you know we're a podcast? Check out Speaking Of, the Unbothered Edition with Rihanna. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. This week, I'm in the host seat. Have you ever confused yams and sweet potatoes? Do you hesitate when the plantains are next to the bananas? Or have you ever wondered why that zucchini you picked up is so juicy? Today, we're playing Veggie Bingo. For the culinary challenged, this episode is for you.
You can kind of see one morph into the other.
This whole conversation is making me realize, like, I don't eat enough vegetables as I think I do.
Oh, you need to be up to five servings a day.
Five servings a day?
You're supposed to be eating five servings of vegetables a day. You are deeply under-veggied.
You know what?
I'm Lynn Hatter, the news director here at WFSU. And this is Speaking Of, the Unbothered Edition.
I got beans, potatoes, tomatoes, greens, beans, potatoes, yeah.
Hey, Olivia.
Hi.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Lynn.
Thank you guys for being willing to join me in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
For some mischief. So, how did we get here? So Olivia Hackney is with our Education Outreach Department, and Rob Diaz de Villegas runs our ecology blog. And we are gathered here today to share some embarrassing truths about foods we may have accidentally confused with their very similar looking counterparts. and I'll go first. I once confused a zucchini for a cucumber.
That's okay. This is a safe space.
This is a safe space?
Yeah.
I can admit that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've grabbed the wrong one at the store before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because when this happened to me, I was on the phone with my grandfather, and I got all the way home, and I first started by grating the zucchini, and everything was great, and I was still talking to my grandpa.
What were you trying to make?
I was making zucchini cakes, which I have made a thousand times before. But then I'm talking to my grandfather, and he is a farmer. He is a man of the land. And I'm like, man, this zucchini is really juicy. And I'm steadily grating it and steadily talking to him. He's like, zucchinis aren't that juicy. I'm like, I don't know. This one, I was like, is it going bad? And midway through the grating, I was like, oh, no, it's a cucumber. And oh, my God. Anyway, my grandfather embarrassed. He would not. This very day, it is still one of his most favorite jokes.
It's like, Grandpa, that was like 5 years ago. Knock it over?
Not for me. Not for his tomato growing, peach chewing, okra picking granddaughter to have confused a zucchini for a cucumber. I already know we're going to Arkansas for Thanksgiving. I already know that he's probably going to have zucchinis and cucumbers, being like, "So which is which?"
Put them all in a basket together and make you pick.
Oh man,
it was terrible. But these aren't the only foods that we've confused.
Right.
Every holiday, there is the perennial battle of the yam versus the sweet potato.
Tale as old as time.
Like, people, y'all are not eating yams. Yams are about as big as this table.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and dispel that? Can we talk about it? Rob.
Yeah.
Olivia. break it down for the uninitiated. When you go to a grocery store, right? I'm not the only one. Am I? Like, there is a difference. Like,
if I'm being honest, I need to go with my mom if I'm going to pick out a yam or a sweet potato, because I feel like I don't have enough trust in myself to pick it out which one is right. I need her as, like, my little, like, oh, yeah, that is a sweet potato, or yes, that's a yam. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
How? Like, okay, no, let's pull this up.
Yeah.
We got to pull this up because yams are huge. Like, how do you get them confused?
Because, you know what? It's the grocery setting, you know, and the lights and they're all don't even put them in the same tub or something.
Yams look a lot different. I don't even buy yams. And so I didn't even know what they look like. That's a... looks more like a yucca.
Yeah.
It's just more closely related to a yucca, I guess.
And that's
yucca, cassava. Yeah, they're tubers.
Yeah. They're tubers.
Sweet potatoes are morning glory. You know, it's like we have these vines that grow everywhere in the fall, and they have these little flowers, and that's what a sweet potato is. I had them growing out of my compost last year, and they had the best leaves, cool flowers for bees. The compost sweet potatoes were like as big as my finger when I dug them up, but yeah, it's a cool plant.
Yes. Potatoes.
It's a super cool plant.
Yes.
But yeah.
But like, if we break it down, like the sweet potato, or I'm sorry, the yam. Like, first off, yams can get huge. They can get very, very large. Yams are also brown, and they're kind of furry. Like, like they got a coat on. I mean, I get it. It's chilly in winter.
Yes.
I want to stay warm, too. But, like, the sweet potato is, like, a reddish, like, deep orange color. Like, how do you get them? But I get it, though, because sometimes they're not labeled right in the grocery store.
Okay. Because, like, can we talk about it? Because it's not always the consumer's fault. Thank you. Because I made a little sweet potato and chicken sheet pan dinner kind of thing. And I had to get the bags of the cube, like, already cut in the cube sweet potato just to reassure myself that this is actually sweet potato. So you can, I'm like, yes, it's the little orangey red color already cut up. I know this is sweet potato, and it was very good.
Not for yams. I'm looking at this. Like I said, I have no experience with yams, but I have experience with yucca, right? So, like, is it as hard as that when you peel it? Because I would know the difference if it was as hard as a yucca, because yucca is super hard, and you have to boil it for a little while to get it soft and
yeah,
take the skin off.
So I think, like, in my experience with a yam, they do have tougher skin because they're wearing a coat, right?
Yes.
So they do have tougher skin, and they also have, I think, a slightly more nutty flavor when I'm eating a yam versus when I'm eating, like, a true sweet potato. And, like, for me, I can always tell the difference because my grandpa used to grow both. But the number of people, and I blame Kendrick Lamar for this. If you know, you know. I'm not going to explain the joke. I'm not going to explain the joke. But I just think there's been a general, like, in recent years, like, widespread confusion over yams and sweet potatoes. That's all I'm saying. Because another one that people don't get is that pumpkins are squash.
That, oh man, that, I did not think I was get that on my 2024 bingo card, but here we are.
Here we are.
If you see them grow, because I've grown both, you know, zucchini and yellow squash and pumpkins, and the leaves are all about the same. And, you know, if you see the way they come out when they form out of the flowers are all the same. Yeah.
But how? No, I'm just like, but what? So,
you know, you want to go ahead.
Because here's my thing, right? It's like, who was going to tell us is that pumpkins are actually squash? Because I'm just over here,
if
like,
you know, all the different types of squash, too. If you look at the winter squash, like an acorn squash or a butternut squash, and you start looking at all the different shapes, you can kind of see one morph into the other.
This whole conversation is making me realize, like, I don't eat enough vegetables as I think I do.
Oh, you need to be up to five servings a day.
Five servings a day?
You're supposed to be eating five servings of vegetables a day. You are deeply under-veggied.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
You got to get it together.
Oh, man. Because you're talking about butternut squash, my mom would try to cook them in this. Is that the one where you can make it into, like, spaghetti?
There's spaghetti squash.
Spaghetti
and
squash.
That is awesome. We made that. That is great. Because, yeah, you just cut open. It's just, like, all stringy. And it's, like, yeah, you can cook it up with, and it's, you can make,
like,
it more savory
tried,
thing
I
with
feel
it
like
than,
she
like,
sent
butternut.
Me a picture. It was just, like, oh, you should try and make it. And I was just, like,
Butternut's orange, like, and it's kind of sweet. It's a little bit kind of on that spectrum of yam, sweet potato kind of sweetness.
Okay.
And it's definitely, I think, with a butternut squash, you can definitely see the relation between the butternut squash and the pumpkin.
If you ever have acorn squash, too, they're just basically little green pumpkins. And they're good. I mean, they're available around now. You can cut them in half, put butter and syrup in it, bake it, and that's just delicious.
Okay. Yeah.
So
less healthy the way I just said it, but
I love me some pumpkin bread. Don't get it twisted.
Oh yeah.
I love me some pumpkin bread.
Can we also do squash bread? I haven't seen anybody come out with a squash bread.
I feel like I've seen.
Depends on what kind of squash. Zucchini. I mean, you know, like my family, we make zucchini muffins
bread.
A lot.
Zucchini
right?
bread. So that's a type I've of, seen zucchini bread.
Zucchini bread is
it's a good sweet bread.
I feel like you could do squash and anything is possible, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some of these are meatier than others, and some of them, like the spaghetti squash, you know, mm-hmm. it's got a different texture that's its own thing.
And I think, too, like texture is really confusing when it comes to vegetables.
Yes.
Because.
Yes.
There is a vegetable that is highly debated.
Hmm. Oh, here we go.
It is so controversial.
Mm.
I personally love it. I know others don't feel the same way.
Speak your truth.
Drum roll. What is that vegetable? On the count of three, we're going to say it. One, two, three.
Okra.
Dun, dun, dun. I feel like it is up there in the pantheon of veggies with bad reputations.
Absolutely.
Up there with Brussels sprouts.
Absolutely.
Okra is
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts is number one, but okra is a deep number two.
Deep,
and Olivia,
yes.
This is your area of expertise. Like, you go hard on okra. Like, you're sitting up here.
Yeah. I have my whole master's thesis that I did about okra.
We have an in-house okra expert.
Okay. First, I want to say I'm not a complete expert. I want to give thanks to Dr. Jessica B. Harris, who wrote the book High on the Hog, which is also mm-hmm. a Netflix series that inspired me to want to look into okra. My master's degree was in art with museum and cultural heritage studies. So I decided, let's do a museum exhibition about okra and see what could happen.
I support that. So like, mm-hmm. Why is okra treated so badly? Personally, my favorite mm-hmm. is pickled okra with a little Texas Pete hot sauce on it because I love the crunch. But I will eat okra in any way, shape, or form. I put it in soup as a thickening. I will eat it plain on its own. I'll eat it right off the vine, pickled. I don't care. I'm here for okra.
I think it's the slimy texture that you get because you got to think, like, in those soups like gumbo, mm-hmm. yes, it is a thickening agent, but when you just get that bite of just okra, you're just like, oh, what is this thing that I am consuming? Why is it so slimy and why is it crunchy at the same time?
I thought it was a pickle.
Right. I thought
slimy
it was
has
a pickle.
Big seeds in it too, which I like, and it gets all over the gumbo.
Which
and, you know,
actually,
and it's
which
like,
actually
seeds.
The
like,
seeds were used to make coffee.
Oh.
You make coffee with the okra seeds.
Huh.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Okay. Explain it. Tell me more.
It's all in here. With okra in West Africa, they use all parts of the vegetable. So with the seeds, they used it as a way to make coffee and to grind it. And then also in what I feel like I'm kind of giving, giving a case for okra and say like, hey, let's just ease off of okra. Because there is, with the fibers of okra, there is a university here, Southern Missouri University. They are making fibers from the okra because it's so tough mm-hmm. and everything.
Well, this is the time of year, right, where it's like the end of this okra season and people let it just grow. So when you people say harvest it when it's, you know, like whatever, 2-3 inches and mm-hmm. it's still kind of soft. But when you let it grow real long, those are the ones you save for seeds.
Yes.
And then those are the ones that get really woody and tough. So that's what you're saying.
So
this is the time of year right now. People are listening to this. You can do this, right?
You can do this.
Everybody, let's just rally around. Let's just like make some fibers from okra. And it's just also with okra, it was also used in some religious practices. I was looking at the religion of Santeria. Mm-hmm. Their They used it for one of their Oshuras, their gods.
Orisha?
Yeah, Orisha. Sorry. Orisha. So there was this, when you prepare an altar for this god, they would make this like cornmeal and okra kind of mixed together dish and you would serve it. And also they believed that preparing just okra by itself, it would wash away all the negative impurities. So it was also viewed as like a cleanser, an energy cleanser, because, and it kind of does, like with the slime and stuff, you're like, oh, I feel new again.
I feel
nice,
cleansed. Everything is moving in my life.
Absolutely.
the ultimate detoxification. So let's see. We can make coffee with okra.
Mm-hmm.
We can potentially wear okra.
Yeah.
With these fibers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We can obviously eat okra. Mm-hmm. And okra has been used in religious ceremonies.
Yeah.
In my kids' school, they paint the woody long okra seed, you know, the okra pods that get longer and are woody, they paint them. We have them in our house.
Yeah.
They sell them at the little Friday market.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. It's, the seeds kind of rattle inside of it, you know, and it's a...
So, I mean, really, this vegetable.
And it can be grown in this harsh southern climate in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that can be grown in this hot Florida heat needs some respect on its name.
It thrives where my tomatoes suffer, honestly. It's it's the toughest, best plant in a nasty, drought-ridden Florida yard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So okra, put some respect on its name.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, I feel like we go through this every Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
It's like all of these vegetables, I feel like every Thanksgiving people are like discovering vegetables for the first time, which cooking gets hilarious, especially for those of us who aren't the best or those of us who it's our first Thanksgiving and we're hosting and it turns into an existential vegetable crisis.
Mm. Man.
Yeah. I feel like cranberry sauce is very controversial. You either love it,
yeah,
or you hate it. Like, there's nobody who's in the middle on this issue. This does not have a political center. You either love cranberry sauce,
yeah, absolutely,
or you abhor it.
Yeah. I can do without it on my plate, personally, because it's already got too much going on. Because
it does have a lot.
We have a lot of different foods along with traditional Thanksgiving food. My grandmother is from Trinidad, so we have some Trinidadian dishes in there. Sometimes we have curry chicken, there's peas and rice. She makes some plantains, in the morning she would make saltfish and bake, even though I'm highly allergic to seafood. But I look at it and I'm just like, oh, that looks so good. But I eat the bake and she would make some corned beef with it.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have a mixture.
So do you just pop the Benadryl and be like, well, hope for the best?
You know what? At this point, Benadryl is not going to do anything. It's it's that bad.
EpiPen?
Yeah. EpiPen. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
EpiPen on deck. EpiPen on deck. Yeah, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned plantains.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to another square on our 2024 vegetable and fruit bingo card.
Yes.
Plantains versus bananas.
Oh.
Related, not the same.
Yeah.
They are related.
But not the same, no.
They are not the same.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And people get them confused all the time.
My Trinidadian family is yelling, yeah, no, it's not the same.
Same with my Cuban family, yeah.
Yeah, see, you have the Caribbean, you have a Caribbean force over here. It's like, it is just not the same.
It's not.
Representation matters.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, break it down for those who are like, oh, these just look like bigger bananas.
It's a lot more starch.
How do you prepare your plantains?
Well, there's two ways, you know? And so if you can get them when they're super green...
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard sometimes. You can get them when they're green, and if you don't cook it right away, you know, they'll start ripening. But that's when it has all the starch, and it's not as sweet, and it has none of the sugars yet. And you can make, we call them tostones, and you just you fry them, and they're crispy on the outside. And that's a real good way. But then it starts ripening. It gets real sweet. It turns all the way black sometimes.
Yes.
They are not bad.
Exactly.
They are.
That's how
ripe.
That's how my grandmother's. I'm like, why do you have these black? I was like, is this still gonna be good?
It's gonna be super sweet.
In her Caribbean, she's like, trust me, it's okay.
You can't find them the same way. And that's maduros, and that means mature in Spanish, right? And so
yeah,
that's just the.
There you go.
And that's the sweeter kind. It's more. It looks kind of. You know, it's a little slimier and it's sweeter. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Do you put anything extra, like a cinnamon or like honey, anything like that?
No.
Okay. So we kind of prepare it pretty similar. I've just seen like my grandma, she would just cut it up, put it in the oil. Yeah. And I feel like it activates its own kind of like flavor when you do that. So yeah, it's pretty similar of how we do you. Have you ever had plantain chips?
I grew up on that. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
I have plantain chips.
They don't have the variety up here that they do in a grocery store in Miami. Like Miami Publix, you go there and you have like multiple different times. And there's more here than there used to be. I remember moving up here was a little bit of a shock and trying to find it. But like, because you know, you get the little disc ones. I like the strips that are a little thicker cut, you know?
Yes.
And now they sell them like the sweet ones too. Mm-hmm. And so they make, somehow it's sweet but still starchy enough to fry into chips. I don't know. Different variety. I don't know.
You know, so
when do you like plantains or?
I love a good plantain.
Yeah.
My problem is, I mean, I'm a hardcore American, so I don't know how to cook them. So when others cook them, I'm the first one at the table. I know my limits. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So I just wait. And when I have the opportunity to order some plantains, I go for them. And I think, like, to me, like, that's the big thing. Like, black plantain equals good. Black banana, throw that away.
Yes.
To a certain point, you start making banana bread. It's the same thing. It ripens. It's sweeter. Yeah. You don't want to eat it necessarily, but, you know, but there's a point where it passes.
That's what my mom does when the bananas are a little bit more
dark.
She's
brown.
Like, okay, it's time to start making banana bread. Mm-hmm. It should make banana muffins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great.
Mm-hmm. And now we're moving on to something highly controversial. Mm. I recently talked to Stephanie Stuckey of the Stuckey Legacy. If you remember, once upon a time, back in the days, those roadside pecan stands, the Stuckeys, they were the Wawas before Wawa, right? They were the Buc-ee's before Buc-ee's. There was Stuckey's. And they sold gas, they sold pecans, and those infamous pecan rolls. She was recently in Tallahassee talking about her new book and the development of her family's business. And as we were talking, she brought up something that I think is highly controversial, the peanut versus the pecan. And one of these is a straight-up poser. Let's take a listen.
The way we've reinvented the brand as a pecan snack and candy company, which is really true to our literal roots, we were founded as a pecan stand, is part of a whole ecosystem and part of a community. Pecans are the only snack nut native to our country. Yet, if you go to the snack halls of America, you do not see pecans.
You see walnuts.
Right? You see cashews and pistachios, almonds and peanuts, which, not to get too technical, but peanuts aren't even a nut. They're a legume. Right?
I'm going to add this to my Thanksgiving episode.
And we're in a bookstore, so I'll make a literary reference. In Holden Caulfield's words from Catcher in the Rye, they're a bunch of phonies on the nut aisles of America.
Posers.
Yes,
the
they're
peanut,
posers.
The peanut the is posers. The poser of agriculture. We're going to put this down, and I'm using it.
Yes, they're the Holden Caulfields of the nut world. Although Holden Caulfield wasn't a phony. They're who he called phonies.
Bad peanuts. We're out for you.
Yes, so we think it's time for the pistachio to move aside, no longer be the it nut. We want pecans to be the it nut, and we are part of that whole ecosystem. We are sourcing directly from local farmers. We are literally the middlemen who are taking that product and making it more marketable, so it's not just for Thanksgiving, although we're upon the Thanksgiving season, and we're all about people baking with pecans at the holiday season, but we're not just for pies. we're for snacking, we're for candies, we're for a healthy treat, we're to throw on your salad or put in your smoothie or take the meal and roll your fish in it and broil it. It's
okay,
America's
so now
native
you're making
nut.
Me hungry.
Yeah, it's America's native nut, and it's the healthiest nut.
So
we're just to been getting our word out there. And so that's part of what I'm doing is to be an evangelist for pecans.
I love this. I came for one thing. I got like five things out of this conversation. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. We are now going to evangelize.
My cousin.
I love it. We're going to be talking about the power of pecans. And the poser, the peanuts. So that was Stephanie Stuckey, and she is really, really passionate about pecans being the original American nut, bump almonds, bump pistachios.
When?
She advocates for the return of and the rise of the pecan, and she feels as if this particular nut has been marginalized and ostracized, and she is on a mission to let everybody know that peanuts are not nuts, they are legumes.
That's true. We were driving around. I don't see the flowers right now, but, you know, a lot of medians in Tallahassee, a lot of roadsides, people were driving around seeing these little yellow flowers, and they were using that as a ground cover, and those were perennial peanuts. And so, yeah, they're legumes. Yeah.
I literally saw some of those on the... Like you said, on the me on West Tennessee Street.
Mm-hmm. West Tennessee, Family Way. I drive that way to between here and home. And
yeah.
And yeah, there are a lot there. And that's, if you ever grow legumes, things like...
Peas,
beans. Yeah.
I feel like there's a song going on here.
Peas, beans.
Tomatoes, potatoes. Look! I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! God damn it! When I was sick, he healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over me.